Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah 165, Kuf Samachay, and it is a siyum of sorts as we finish the last mitzvah in Parsha Shmini, which we started before the summer, before we took our break. Shmini had, I think, 17 mitzvahs, right? 6 mitzvahs asay and 11 los asays. This is number 17, last one before we start Parshas Tazria. But last one, this is the fourth of the Isurim of eating shrutzim. If you remember, we spoke about eating water shrutzim, eating land shrutzim, eating shrutzim that come from fruit shrutzim. And now the last one, shalalechol min ha-shrutzim ha-mishavim min ha-ipush, which literally means not eating rot shrutzim, shrutzim that are created and brought into existence from rot, from mold, from ipush. Says the chinuch, shalalechol min ha-shrutzim ha-mishavim min ha-ipushim, af api she'eno min yadua. We're not talking about a specific type, but everything's included. V'lo yishavem yizachar u'nekeva. And it's not a type that is created from a male and a female. Shneamar v'lo sitamu es nafsho sechem b'chol asher etzarom yisal aretz. Let's go back to the pasuk for a minute. At the end of Shmini, the pasuk says, al tishaksu es nafsho sechem b'chol asher etzashoretz. Do not make your soul disgusting by consuming any sheretz that crawls, v'lo sitamu bohem, and don't make yourself tummy with them, but it's basin bum, and you will become tummy. We'll get back to hopefully that pasuk again. Ki ani Hashem alokeichem, this is the end, if you think about it, the end of all of Hilchos Kashrus. Ani Hashem alokeichem, and I am Hashem your God, v'skadishtem, v'yisem kadoshim, ki kodosh ani, be holy, v'lo sitamu as nafsho seichem, b'chol hasheretz, haromes al haaretz. And we add in this extra pasuk, this is the last thing, and then it says, I brought you out of Egypt, and this is it, end of Shmini. So the last pasuk relating to Isur Yachila, don't impurify your soul, b'chol hasheretz haromes al haaretz, for any sheretz that's romes al haaretz. Why does he use the lashon of romes here, crawling instead of shoretz? They both mean like creepy crawlies. But the Rambam says explicitly, and the Chinuch quotes it here too, the Chinuch says, that's the difference between romes and shoretz. Shoretz means it comes from the earth, and it goes on the earth, and it reproduces like any earthly being. But the types of shoretz that we're talking about here, they believed that there was spontaneous generation. That means in the rotting fruit, from the garbage, from the rot, came forth these bugs, these fruit flies, these bugs, and that's what the Gemara seems to assume, and that's how the Rishonim explain it. So those are the shrutzim that we're talking about in this Isser. V'loshen Sifra, Hasheretz haromes al haaretz, af api she'eino parav harava. Even though it doesn't procreate and reproduce like all other types of animals, with a male and a female and parents and offspring, these types of shrutzim come from the fruit, from the rot itself, and they are also included in the Isser to eat. And the Rambam says, because of our Rambam, Zechorna Levracha, Ki b'sheretz ha-nolad mi-zachar mi-nekevas ne'amar shoreitz. All the other shrutzim come from a male and a female parent, and that's why he uses the lashon of shoreitz. V'asher hu na'asim in ha-ipush, but that which comes from just the rot or the mold, nomar ba'am romes. That's why this pasuk says romes instead of shoreitz, to differentiate it from all the other types of shrutzim. The Ramban does not like this distinction. He doesn't think there's a difference between romates and shoreitz. If you remember, the Ramban does not count any of these as separate isurim. Just like he says, you don't count, he says, there's no separate isurim for the isur of shrutzim. Rabban Zachron of Racha Hikshalom and Emikros, he says you find shoreitz and romates interchangeably, and therefore you shouldn't make such a distinction. Okay, either way, this is the isur of not eating rot or mold shrutzim. Right, the big question on this concept, and we alluded to this before, but now today I'll finally read it. I alluded to it 4 mitzvahs ago, and that is, the Gemara calls certain beings eino parin v'ravin. So like here, that's what we're talking about. Or, for example, the Gemara says in Shabbos, we learned it last year, that one is not allowed to kill kinim on Shabbos. There's no Isser of Shechita, there's no Malacha of Shechita, one of the 39 Malachas, by kinim, by lice. Why? Because the Gemara says, einon parin v'ravin, which means they don't reproduce in the natural way with parents and offspring. That's what the Gemara says. That's how Rov Rishonim understand that Gemara. The problem is that we know that's not true. We know that our science tells us that they are part of a oven, and there are eggs laid, and they are reproduced. It just looks like they're not part of a oven, because all of a sudden you find them in your hair, or you find them somewhere. But how could the Gemara say in a part of a oven? Or like here, these bugs come from, we know based on our science, we believe that the fruit are attracted to the rot, not that they are produced from the rot. So how are we supposed to understand this? And does the halacha change based on the fact that we know differently, the science? So this is a very important piece, letter, in the Michtam Elio, where Rav Dessler writes in Chelek Dalid. Every time one of these topics come up, I try to mention this letter. Page 355, 356. Rav Dessler says there, he brings up three cases. He says, number one, the bugs case. Three cases of the bugs case. It seems like Chazal assumed Einan Parim V'Ravin, they don't reproduce naturally, and we know they do. So how do we put together the science of the times and the halacha? It comes up by, I mean, here it doesn't make a difference, because this mitzvah is, even by Shratzim that ain't in Parim V'Ravin, by Hilcha Shabbos, there's a chilek. You're only not allowed to kill Shratzim that are Parim V'Ravin, but these Shratzim you're allowed to kill. It's an amazing nafkamina. Number one. Number two, the other area that it comes up, those who are learning Daf Yomi had this a couple of weeks ago, the Gemara says, in the third parak of Chulin, Yesh Drusa Lachatul V'lo Lekelev. A cat, if another animal is clawed by a cat, that victim animal is called a trefa. It's for sure going to die within 12 months. Why? Because cats put venom into their victims, poison, when they claw them. Not dogs. That's what the Gemara says. Yesh Drusa Lachatul V'lo Lekelev. And again, the question we ask is, what do you mean? We know some cats not, some dogs yes. So how are we supposed to understand that line, according to our science? What, did cats and dogs change? And finally, the third that he talks about is the halacha that we know from Hilchos Pesach, Simin Taf Nun Hei, Mayim Shelanu. We know if anybody has baked matzahs before, they don't bake it from putting flour with water from the sink and get your dough ready. No, what's done is, what's used is mayim shalanu. Water is left overnight in a barrel, in a container. That's the water that is used to make matzahs. You have to have water that's left overnight. Why do you need water that's left overnight? The Gemara says it in Masechet Pesachim. So, the way most Rishonim explain, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in the beginning of Simin Tuf, Nun, Taf Nun Hey, the Mishnah Berurah says, because the sun goes under the horizon and it's underneath the ocean, so in the morning, if you didn't draw the water, it might be warmer than it's supposed to be because the sun's underneath the water, warming it. And therefore, you can't take water because it might cause chimutz in a quicker time than regular water that is at a regular even temperature. So again, the sun under the ocean, because the sun goes under, obviously we know the sun is not going under the ocean, and the earth is orbiting around the sun. Right? So how do you understand these halachas? And we still are machmed for Mayim Shalanu. So Rav Dessler says, Yisod Gadol, which applies to many areas of halacha, he says it by these three. We always have to remember, we come up with reason, or even Rishonim, or sometimes even Chazal, come up with reasons for laws, but it's not that the reason causes the law. Right, you come up with, we see there's a law. So we come up with a reason, and therefore we say, oh, there's this reason, and therefore, that's why there's the law. No. We can come up with reasons, but ultimately it's not that the reason causes the law. The law causes the reason. There's a certain mitzvah, there's a certain law. Then we try to figure out, oh, what's the reason for this law? If there ends up being a chisaron in our reason, that doesn't change the law. The law is the law. That's a mitzvah daraisa. That's the word of God. We come up with a reason. And sometimes the reason might make sense, and sometimes the reason might not make sense. But if the reason doesn't make sense, that doesn't mean that the law falls away. Because the law is there first. The Torah, Staka Baraisu Bara Alma, the Torah was created before the world was created. So any reason is like a Tama Mitzvah. Even if the Tama Mitzvah might not be shayach to a certain case, but still the reason is the law is the law. That's what he says here too. Sheve'elu v'chayotzi ba'elu la'olam, ein hadin mishtane, av shalachor ha'tamei namuvan lanu, ela yesh lechos bedin b'shtei yadayim, bein l'chumra bein l'kula. See, he says, in a chinami, even l'kula, you should be able to kill bugs. Right? The not regular bugs, most bugs, but specifically the lice bugs, the ketan that the Gemara was talking about. Why? Ki im ha'alacha yadu chazal, the kabbalah midore doros, the gam yadumin, right? So he says that's the, it's the din is machayev the tam is in machayev the din. That's part one. But then he says it could be that we are just misunderstanding what chazal meant to say in all these cases. For example, he says by the bugs case, how are we translating it? Ain't a par of a oven? They don't reproduce in the normal way. It could be Chazal knew that, right? Or Vada, maybe Chazal, I've heard of Chilukim between Chazal and Rishonim. But Chazal knew that the bugs do reproduce in the normal way. But it could be that because it doesn't look like it, it looks like spontaneous generation. It looks like they're coming from there, so halachically is considered that. Halachically, they're called Ainan Par and Varavin, even if they have parents. But we're allowed to view it like that. Mayim Shalanu. Maim Shalonu, in the case of the water, it's not that they really, some Rishonim say the sun goes under, but it could be, it's as if, why is it warmer in the morning? For all different types of reasons. Why is water from the ocean warmer in the morning than water that was in a water in a container? For whatever, 10 different reasons. Chazal said, it's as if the sun is going underneath, and it doesn't sound that way in some Rishonim, but there are ways to understand each of these in that way. But this is Rav Dessler, very important Ha'ara, relating to Dinim and reasons. This is also brought up even by Dinim Durabanan. The Beis Chachma writes in Parshas Bo, on Achodesh Zelachem, discussing one of the most controversial, or one of the halachas that many of the other strands of our faith try to get rid of, and that is Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni, we know for sure today, we have a calendar, there's no more suffix. What do we have to have a second day of Yontif and Chutz La'aretz for? So, the Meshech Chachma says, first of all, we have a Mesorah from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, for every din, there are thousands of reasons. Chazal or Magala, one or two of them. Even by Dinim Durabanan. Kiyam Chazal Pirshu Tamam B'chol Zos, Otish Iru Temunim B'seiser Levavam, Ta'amim La'alafim, Gedolim V'rabim, Avalozel La'ozen Hamon B'nei Yisrael. Don't think that there's because, this Dinim Durabanan shouldn't apply because the reason doesn't apply anymore. If Chazal already built in the reason and they told us to limit it, okay. But if we assume that there is a din, and we don't know if it's based on the reason or not, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, right, taking medicines on Shabbos, that Gzeira is still Chai V'Kayam, but still, even if the reason, in our view, might not apply, the din for sure applies as well. Then he goes through why, even in Yontif Sheni, there might be a reason, Bizman Hazeh. He talks about, because the Sanhedrin is going to come back before Mashiach comes, so he might have to be Makadish with Edim, even before Mashiach comes. Okay, you can look there, in Parshas Bo, on the Pasuk of HaChodesh HaZalachem. Either way, so this mitzvah, which seems at the end of Shemini, what's so exciting about this mitzvah? Eating shratzen that comes from Ipush. But there's Yesod Gadol here, the basis of this mitzvah, the fact that it's a separate category, is a very important lesson that we learn from the words of Rav Dessler. Okay, so Dinei HaKetzarim, continuing the Chinuch. The Dinim are short, because we've already discussed all of them by the other halachas. Shekol Pratei Yikatsu B'chal Echad, Shenasa Lana Kol Shratzei Ho'ipushim Sheba'olam Arom Sebaretz. It is usher to us all shratzim that come from mold shratzim we'll call them, Chutz Mi Shratzei Mi'ipushei HaPeiros, Shenasu Sham La'acha Shenekru. Except for the ones that come from fruit, that was four mitzvahs ago that we discussed. V'noheges b'chol makom v'chol zman, v'schar v'nekevis, this mitzvah applies to both men and women. V'over alev acha birya, mikol ha'ipushim, sheba ashvos. As we said already, if somebody eats an entire creature, even if it's less than a kezias, afilu ketana shebektanos, even if it's tiny, mikivan sha'ach lavishleim aloka aleha, you still get malchus. What we discussed a couple of days ago, the concept of birya, an entire unit that came from a living item, and it's called a unit. So then, that one gets malchus even for less than a kezias. If it's not whole, it may not shlema, shiur of a kezias. Then one has to have a shiur of a kezias. Okay, let's talk a couple of minutes about this pasuk at the end of the parsha of Machalos Asuras in general. The pasuk says, lo seshaksu as nafsho seichem. And that's what's alluded to by this mitzvah. There is, the Rambam writes this, the Chinuch does not write it here, but he writes it later on in the Torah. Included in these Isurim is also something called Baal Tishaksu. Right, the Pasuk says right here, and the Rambam discusses it in Kufayin Tes, at the end of Kufayin Tes in this mitzvah, the Rambam says, besides the simple interpretation of eating shratzim, Baal Tishaksu includes other averus as well. For example, the Gemara in Makkos, Tezayin Mabez, says two ideas. Number one, Hamash and Akavav, over Mishim Baal Tishaksu. Don't make your souls disgusting by eating Shratzim, but Chazal learned out other Isurim related to that. Number one, not holding in when I have to go to the bathroom. That also is an Isur. Mash and Akavav, based on our Pasuk, of Baal Tishaksu. How long? What if somebody has to go to the bathroom and there's no bathroom right there? So obviously, within a certain, there's a certain flexibility. But if somebody has to go, and then they don't go on purpose, and they hold it in, and they have a chance to go, that's an Isra, about the shaksu. One has to make sure to go to the bathroom when they have to go to the bathroom. The Shulchan Aruch even says specifically regarding tefillah, one is not allowed to daven or learn when they have to go to the bathroom. Hayatzorach l'nakavav, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Tzadik Beis, in Arachayim, Hilchas Tefillah, somebody has to go to the bathroom, al yispalel, don't daven, even if I'm going to miss Baruchu. V'im ispalel tfilaso toeva. And if I daven when I have to go to the bathroom, my tefillah is an abomination. V'tzorach lachzor ulispalel. I got to daven again. Got to daven again? Really? So the question is, how badly did you have to go? That's a big shaila. If you could have held it in for a little while, even after davening, so then you don't have to daven again. But if I'm rushing through Shemona Esrei, and I write the Shemona Esrei, I take off my tefillin, and boom, I have to rush to the bathroom because it's coming out, I probably have to daven again. Because I wasn't allowed to daven in the first place. That's an isser of Baal Teshaksu, and the halach is, you're not omed b'fnei HaMelech in that situation.
You
can't walk a parsa. How long is a parsa? Right? And not too far, but if you can't walk a parsa, so then, who dalin minim? Shushir shav achomesh. Even Mishnah Berurah even says, it's an hour walk. So, but if you can't hold it in, it's going to come out. Generally, we would say, don't dab it again. If you could have held it in a little while, probably subic tefila lakula. But if one has to go right away, then you have to make sure not to dab it. And that's why we have to check ourselves. The Shulchan Aruch says, we have to check ourselves before we dab it, that whether we have to go to the bathroom or not. What happens if in the middle of Shemona Esrei, I checked myself and I was fine and I have the urge, I have to wait till it passes. I have to try to wait till it passes. In Bamsa Tfilasu Nisorolo Taiva, Yamidatzmacha Yigmar, Velo Yafsik. If it's Bashas Kriyashma, Berchosea, Nisorer, Kori Kedarko, he talks about all the details here. But either way, that is number one, Baal Teshaksu, included in this pasuk. Number two, Baal Teshaksu, what else is included in the Isser of making ourselves disgusting? Number one is eating shratzim, all of these isurim. Number two is holding in. And number three is another isur. The Rambam writes, based on the Gemara there. Well, let's read the Gemara. The Gemara in Makkah says, one example, but the Rambam generalizes it. Uman deshasi maya bekarna de uman. If somebody wants to take a drink of water and they want to use a straw. So for the straw that they use is the needle that somebody bloodlet with. They have like a syringe, and they drink from there. That's an Issa D'Oraisa Baal Teshaksu. Why? Because it's disgusting to a person. Imbibing, ingesting anything that I find disgusting is also an Issa Baal Teshaksu. Says the... where am I? Says the Rambam. Oh, here's the Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, Asru Chachamim Ma'acholos U'mashkin She'nefesh Rov B'nei Adam Kiha Behen. Chachamim asered eating foods that most people find disgusting and reviling. Kagon. Ma'achalos u'mashkin shenesari bohen ki. Right, if somebody wants to eat some of this spit or throw up in something, and this person eats it, it's an issa d'oraisa. Person's going to think, I'm a macho guy, I can eat anything. No, chas v'shalom, it's an issa d'oraisa. To eat, I'm sorry, it's an isser. Take back the word d'oraisa. The Ritva, and according to the Ritva in Makkos there, and that Gemara has a machlokas, whether all these Baal Teshaksus are d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So that's 2 days in the Ritva, there in Makkos. Pirush Rabbeinu Meir Alevi Bazeh, V'nira min menu disfir le shizeh v'sir Torah, avokar karma farshim kasav she'inu elo d'rabbanan. Okay, most assume that, says the Ritva, that the Masha Nekavav, in this case, is an issa d'rabbanan. Okay, but either way, it's aser. Otsoa v'alecha v'srucha v'chayotze behen. Right, you can't eat something disgusting, you can't use disgusting kelim. That a person would normally, you know, become disgusted from. Kagon, clay based akise. Somebody drinks out of a bowl that's used for the bathroom. Doesn't matter if you wash it out, you can't do that. It's an issa d'rabbanan, right? Because we're neshamas. We're special people. And therefore, one cannot be involved in anything that is disgusting. Okay, last section to talk about, and that is, right after the Parsha of Shratzim, or right during the Parsha of Shratzim, we have all these beautiful psukim. V'his kadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim, ki ani Hashem amal eschem eres Mitzrayim, li'os chen alokim. I am God who brought you out of Mitzrayim to be for you as a God. So Rashi already quotes Chazal. Ma Kesher, what's the connection between these four Isur Shratzim that we just had, and I brought you out of Egypt. So Rashi says, oh, if it was only for these Isurim of Isur Achila Shratzim, that's enough reason for us to go out of Egypt. Really? What's so significant about the Isra of Achila Shratzim? So Rashi quotes here. Al Manashet the Kablu Mitzvosa Ha'alesi Eschem. Right, he quotes. He says, Al B'shosh Eimet Tamim B'shratzim Kishar Umos Dayam Umal Yusi Gabayu. It's a Milo. So what's so significant and special about the Isra of Achila Shratzim? I saw a couple of points. Number one, B'shem Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, the non-Jews also don't eat Shratzim. So what's the big deal? Most of the shratzim that we're talking about here, the land ones, the mice, or these bugs, they don't eat it either. So what, this makes us so unique? So Rav Moshe says, no, they don't eat it when they see it. Because it's naturally repulsive to them. We don't eat it because God told us not to eat it. And therefore, even if we don't see it, we search after them. And we make sure, we don't just close our eyes and say, I don't see it, I'm okay. Rav Moshe says, no, Idafka, that's what makes us unique. Bezeni keres el yunusam shel Yisrael. This is quoted in Yagdol Torah. Shehem bedelim u'misrachim gam yishratzim ze'irim shekemat einam nirim. The torchim who both gim harbim macholam, and we do our best to try to search out and make sure that we don't take part in them. Right, so this is a mila. Some say you could also read this pasuk as going back on all the machalos asuros, but specifically shratzim of the last ones that this is going on. He quotes also on that same page in the Yagdol Torah that the Avnei Nezer said that many times when he was brought something in to paskin, whether it was kosher or was treif, he could smell the tumor or the tara, like even before he even looked at the animal, he already had such a sensitivity to tumah and tara. The Sacher Shaver was able to. Right, Leos lahar gusha lahavkin b'machol kasher l'treifa, and also on Pesach about achshash chimus or not. But he says, I'm not on the level of my father-in-law. It was his father-in-law, the Kutzker. So the Kutzker was able to tell whether his matzahs were shmura or not. He was able to smell that on such a level, or not matzah shmura. Okay, we'll just end with one final piece from Rav Sirotzkin, the Zayin LaTorah, which hopefully we'll review this piece in the Haggadah Shir. Let's all remember it for the Haggadah Shir, Pesach time. And that is, we have at the end of this whole discussion of Machalos Asuros, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I brought you out. So something special about Machalos Asuros. So Rav Sirotzkin goes through a beautiful piece where he talks about how, why is Machalos Asuros more pernicious than any other Avera? Chazal say it's mitamtem our heart. Because he says, as we know, ask the Chachmei Ateva, ask the doctors, as we move in our lives, any movement we do uses up energy. How is that energy replaced by the food that we intake? So if somebody intakes machalos asuros, even b'shogeg, even if we don't understand, even if we don't realize it, machalos asuros becomes part of me. That's what the Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays behind the scenes to make sure great tzaddikim don't have machalos asuros, even b'shogeg. Because the Kodesh Baruch was worried about their physical makeup, forgetting their spiritual makeup. He said, "Mafsid b'chol yom schum yadua shel chalakim ketanim," and it's memula by whatever we intake. So if we have machalos asuros, it mamish becomes part of who we are. And he says, "But look around today." He says, "So many Jews are eating machalos asuros. So many Jews are eating treif. Is there any nechama that we can have?" And he says, he lived at the beginning of the 1900s. He even says, "So many countries," and we can even say it today in Tashanai and Aleph, the last few days, there are countries in the world today. In Europe, in certain countries in Europe, it already is the law that they're asering shechita. Right? It's inhumane. You can't shecht. He says, where do we have such a case where shechita is asered? The most humane way of killing an animal. But he says, is there any nechama we can have to this? So he says beautifully, he says, Chad Gadya. See at the end of the Seder, Chad Gadya. And obviously, Chad Gadya, why are we singing about a goat and a this and a that and a dog and a cat? What's so significant about ending the Seder with Chad Gadya? What's so significant? He said it's all different times of history. It's all different Golios that we went through. All different stages of history. Right, a shar might be Rome, and this animal might be this. Everything is a certain stage. What stage are we up to now? What stage are we up to? Asked the Rav Sirotzkin. We've been through so many galios. So he says, "V'asa malach hamaves v'shachat l'shochet." Shechita is being answered. We're at the second to last stage. "V'asa malach hamaves v'shachat l'shochet." Malach hamaves symbolizes tuma. There's tuma being brought into the world and it's answering shechita. So we can have to shechita. So he says, "At." There's only one more stage. "V'asa kodesh baruch hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves." That's what we're waiting for. That's the one nechama that we could take. Be'ezrat Hashem, he says, and that's how we will finish off Parshash Shmini. So the end of Shmini, we end with a tefillah that we should all be able to not only the Isurim that we've discussed, but the Tum and the Tara Halacha should become the Maisa, Be'ezrat Hashem, very, very soon. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, the next mitzvah we start off with is Tumas Yoledes, starting off Parshas Tazria and its seven mitzvos. Okay, we'll stop here.